You have other kashas, but let's begin. So we're gonna continue in the Peos HaRosh Sugya. Today I wanted to really get to the meat of the sugya in terms of halach lemaisa. What do I need to have on my head in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of Peos? Just very, very practical halach lemaisa. But before we get to that, just one little other detail in terms of who's chayiv in the mitzvah and who's not. The Shulchan Aruch holds, Shulchan Aruch paskins that a woman is not allowed to cut a man's or even a child's payas. Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, that a woman is not allowed to cut a man's payas or not allowed to cut a child's payas either. Now, why would that be the case? What would be the problem with a woman cutting a man's payas or a woman cutting a child's payas? A woman's a chayiv in Akavas HaRosh, so what would be the issue? The whole issue seems to be one of Lifnei Iver, that the man is not allowed to get his payas cut. We learned in our Gemara that he's chayiv malchus if he gets his payas cut. So if the woman is doing it for the man, so it's going to be a violation of Lifnei Iver. Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes this way, that he thinks that it's a violation of Lifnei Iver for a woman to cut a man's payas. You're helping him violate an issur d'oraisa. However, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if that's the case, if the situation is Lifnei Iver, what if the person getting the haircut is capable of shaving his own payas, but he'd rather use a barber? The barber will do a neater job or whatever. So then it would turn out that the barber is not really violating Lifnei Iver. Because any time you're on Chalav or Dinara, the person is able to do it themselves. They have the equipment, they have a razor on of their own, they're able to accomplish the Avera themselves. They're just asking you to do it for them. So anytime you have that situation, that's not Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa. That's an Issur D'Rabbanon of helping someone do an Avera. That's Misayel De'Over Avera Midrabbanon, if they have the ability to do it themselves. Then Rabbi Kiveger says, well, wait a second. Let's say you have a guy who can cut his own payas, and instead he asks a female barber to cut his payas for him. Is it usher for the female barber to do so, or mutter for the female barber to do so? Keep in mind, the whole isser for a woman to give a man a haircut, where she cuts his payas, is lifnei iver, that she's causing him to violate cutting off his payas. But if his options are, I'm going to cut my own payas off, or I'm going to ask the woman to cut my payas off for me, which of those options is a greater avera for the man? To cut himself, cut his own payas off. Why? Exactly. We saw in the Gemara that he's both the makif and the nikif. He gets two sets of malchus for that. When he gets a woman barber to do it for him, how many sets of malchus is he going to get? Only one. For helping her do it. So it turns out that what she's doing for him is not Lifnei Iver. What she's actually doing for him is minimizing his Isser. If he's going to do it anyway and he's going to cut his own payas anyway, so he's telling her, listen, you don't cut my hair, then I'm going to get two malkios. I'm going to be chayv two malkios. I'm going to do two Isurim Dorais. I'm going to be a makif and a nikif. You do cut my hair, and then I'm only going to be in violation of one malchus. Are you going to call that Lifnei Iver? That's going to be called Lifnei Iver, that you're cutting, that the woman's cutting the guy's hair? That's not Lifnei Iver. She's saving him from an Isser. So this really cuts to the core of how to define Lifnei Iver. Meaning, is Lifnei Iver when you help someone do an Avera, end of story, we don't look at anything else? You actively participate in helping someone do an Avera, that's Lifnei Iver, case closed? Or do we say that it's important to look big picture over here? That what's the alternative to helping them do this Avera? Let's say you would not have helped them do this Avera. If their Avera would have been worse without your help, then maybe even though you're helping them do an Avera, but they would have done something much worse if you didn't help them, maybe that's not Lifnei Iver. Maybe that's actually doing something beneficial for them on a ruchnistic level. So that would be the opposite of Lifnei Iver. This is the discussion I think we've had several times of Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses, where what we call relative Lifnei Iver comes up in a number of situations. Rav Vadia has a tshuva. Let's start with Rav Vadia's case. Rav Vadia has a tshuva about keeping a fleishig restaurant open during the 9 days, or during Shavua Shechalbo for a Svardi. Can you keep a restaurant open, a fleishig restaurant open during Shavua Shechalbo Tishba? Every person that's going to come into the restaurant is going to order meat. And you're serving them meat during the 9 days. So what would that be? That would seem to be either. Or for example, even locally in town over here, the coffee shops and the restaurants, they're open on fast days. I don't think the Vod makes them close on fast days. Yom Kippur they close, obviously. Tisha B'Av they're probably closed, I would bet. No? What? I was buying food for later, but I'm saying like Central Park or something like that, where people sit down and have a coffee or whatever during the day. I believe they're, because I once got a shiloh, one of my Talmidim's, we'll say sister, but it was his girlfriend, worked in Central Park as a waitress, and she had asked him to ask me whether she's allowed to work there on Tainus Esther or on Asar Batavis or whatever fast day it was. Because everyone that's going in there is breaking their fast, and she's helping them do an Avera. So Rav Avadya has this shiloh. Are you allowed to keep the Fleishig restaurant open during the 9 days? So what would you say? Well, it seems like Lifnei Iver. You're serving Fleishig food to someone who's not allowed to eat Fleishig food. What's the counter-argument? Again, keep in mind, Rav Avadya works with Sfardim, the Sfardic community of all stripes and colors, of all levels of religious observance. If the other people are going to go out to eat, and there are many people that aren't really so observant. So if you don't have a restaurant with a good hashkacha open during the 9 days, they'll go to a restaurant with a bad hashkacha or no hashkacha. And they'll go eat non-kosher food. Now what's worse, eating meat during the 9 days or eating non-kosher food? Certainly eating non-kosher food is much worse. What? Oh, very good. So that's exactly this issue over here. The woman giving the haircut is actively giving the haircut, so it's an active lifnei iver. The alternative is she won't do anything, he'll cut his own hair, and he'll violate a double issur. So it's exactly the same cheshbon, right? Or I'll give another example. Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about, there's a halacha, what? Rav Avadya holds that you're allowed to leave it open. Yeah. Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about, let's say you have workers, on you're a foreman of a construction site, let's say, and you have workers working for you on a hot summer day in Israel, in the middle of the summer, and they're working, they're schwitzing away. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you're not allowed to offer a food or drink, provide food or drink to somebody who you suspect will not make a bracha, you think will not make a bracha, or you know will not make a bracha on the food. So can you offer them a drink of water? You're there with your yarmulke, your payas, whatever, and they see clearly you're a religious guy, you have your tzitzit sticking out and everything, tcheles, the whole bit, and they see that you're a religious person. You have access to all the fresh drinking water in the world, and they're schwitzing away, and you're not offering them water. So why can't you offer them water? Because they might not make a bracha. It's lifnei iver. What's the alternative? You don't offer them water, and what's going to happen? So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, then they're going to say that from people are a bunch of, insert the derogatory word. They're going to say that a bunch of from people are selfish and not nice and they don't care about us and they hate us and they think we're subhuman and, etc., etc. Which is a worse lifnei iver? To cause them to drink some water without saying a bracha? Or to cause them to hate all from Jews? Now, one is active. If you're giving them the water, that's an active. You're being active. If you don't give them the water, you're being passive, but it's a much worse avera that you're causing them to violate. So all of this is the same shayla. It all relates to the same shayla. So the raya they bring is from this Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger in Hilchos Payas, it's amazing. I love how halacha works that way sometimes. You're learning Hilchos Brachos, and can I give someone a cup of water if I know he's not going to make a bracha? Oh, the raya is from Rabbi Kiveger in Hilchos Payas. A woman is giving a haircut to someone and she's cutting off his payas, but the alternative is he's going to cut off his own payas. So Rabbi Kiveger says that's not a violation of lifnei iver because he would have violated two isurim daraisa of shaving off his payas and being shaved. He would have been the makif and the nikif. With the woman's help, he's only violating one isur. Not only that, the Ramah in Yordeisim Kufpei Aleph Sifei, if you look in source number 16, Shulchan Aruch says hamakif es hakatan chayiv. Right? If someone is makif a katan, you cut off a child's payas or chayiv. You're allowed to give a haircut to a guy where you cut off his payas or a woman. A child can be nikaf mina ovid kochavim, which means if you send your child not to the Jewish barber but to the non-Jewish barber in town, what is it, Tito's or whatever, Tito is not a Jewish name, I would imagine. So he sent him to the non-Jewish barber in town, and then it's no problem. You could have Tito cut off your kid's pays. Crazy? No? How much? What do we say when we talk about pays? How much of pays is about the result, and how much of it is about the maisa? You know, as far as the maisa is concerned. So okay, he's not a mechuyev bedaver. The child's not a mechuyev bedaver, and he's not doing any ma'isa. The barber's doing the whole thing. No Jew is doing this ma'isa on him. So everyone's mutter. It's fine. But the result is you have a Yiddish kid walking around with a haircut without any pays. And Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, it's okay. It's difficult for another reason though. Pischei Tshuva and Sivkat and Beis over there says he doesn't understand what's the echitimtza exactly. Is it that the kid walks into the barber shop and says, you know, shows the picture of his favorite basketball player and says, I want hair like that. And he's the one calling the shots and he's the one determining that that's, and he's paying for it with his own money and that's the way it's working. So if that's the situation, says the Pischei Tshuva, my Rabusa, what's the Chiddush? Of course, what's the halacha? Katan ochel nevelos. A child is eating something non-kosher. A child is doing an avera. Ein beis mitzvah nafrisha. We don't have to stop him. He's not mechuyev b'davar. So of course, that would be permissible. So what? You want to say no? The case is, how do most children get their haircuts? They don't just walk in on their own and decide on their own. They walk in with their parent who drove them there, and the barber says to the parent, "What do you want me to do?" And the parent says, "I want you to cut his hair this way." And then the barber ignores everything the kid says, because the parent is the one that's paying for it. Well, if that's the case, this is Vaday Asur, says Pischei Tshuva. You can't ask a barber to cut off your kid's pays. Why not? Because that's a basic violation of Amir Lakum. Anything you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to ask a guy to do for you. So if you're not allowed to cut off your own kid's pays, you certainly can't ask a guy to cut off your kid's pays. So Manavshech, says Pischei Tshuva, I don't understand this halach in the Shulchan Aruch. If the child is going and asking for his own, so it's no different than katan ochel nevelos, where it's pashut mutter. So Shulchan Aruch doesn't have to say. And if the adult is one that asks the non-Jewish barber to cut the child's hair in this way, so then it's like any other case of Amir Lakum, which is Vaday Asur. So those are the two ha'aras before we get into the exact location and the length of the pays and everything like that. Again, two ha'aras. Ha'ara number one is, even though a woman is not allowed to cut a man's hair, that's not an isra of makif nikif, that's an isra of lifnei iver. And because it's an isra of lifnei iver, it may depend on what the man would do otherwise, where it then becomes relative lifnei iver. And you have to weigh relative to what he would otherwise do, is this worse or better for him? That's Rabbi Kivager's ha'ara. That's ha'ara number one. Ha'ara number two is the Pischei Tshuva's ha'ara. That even though the Ramah paskins that a guy can cut a child's payas off, it's clear that an adult Jew cannot ask a guy to cut his child's payas off, because that's Amir Lakum. Those are the two ha'aras. Now let's move on to the actual location on the head where the payas can't be cut. So first of all, if you look in source number 18, the Gemara Maseches Nazir, Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, very short Gemara over there. Hakafas Kol Arosh Shma Hakafa. First off, and this Sefer Achinuch, we saw in Sefer Achinuch like this, based on this Gemara, that if you shave your entire head, it's no better. It's still called Hakafas Arosh. It's still a violation of Hakafas Arosh. Why would we think otherwise? Why would we think it is better? Because if the whole idea of Payas Arosh is like we said, like the Rambam said, that you're trying to make sure that you're not like the Ovdei Kochavim, when the Ovdei Kochavim cut off their payas, they were cutting off their payas specifically to grow their baloris, either on top of their head, back of their head, whatever it is that they're growing. So if you do a Kafas Kol Arosh, you're not doing like the Ovdei Kochavim. So as a Chiddush, then it's still called a violation of a Kafas Arosh, even though you're clearly not doing the same way like the Ovdei Kochavim. As we pass in Shulchan Aruch, the Torah went crazy about the Rambam giving a reason for this, implying that this whole thing is subject to whether you're actually doing like the Ovdei Kochavim or not. We pass in that it's not subject to whether you're actually doing like the Ovdei Kochavim or not. You shave your entire head, that's a violation. The example that we had here in Yeshiva a number of years ago with the boy who was diagnosed with cancer, and all of his friends wanted to shave off, they shaved their entire heads. Right? That was Hakafas Kol Arosh. So that's also a violation. A kav's kol rosh is also a violation. So it would seem that would be a significant problem. Now, why is that? And then that's how most of the Rishonim assume. That's what's pasuk in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, why is that though? If you attack it not being like the Avdei Kochavim, so one possibility why it would still be Asir, is that, like the Torah said, whatever reason you want to give for the Yisra of HaKafas HaRosh, it's Eino Mefurash, the Torah said. It's not explicit in the Pasuk that that's the reason. It's implicit in the Pesukim that it's about Avodah Zarah, based on the juxtaposition with the halachos of tattoos and other things that are clearly about Avodah Zarah. So it's implicit, but it's definitely not explicit in the Pesukim. So therefore, it's not the Gedarim of the Yisra of HaKafas HaRosh aren't going to follow the Gedarim of what the Avdei Kochavim do. Also, one could argue, you're giving yourself a haircut. You cut off you start with the side, you cut off one side, right? So what are you going to say? I violated Nisr, so now I go weiter and I cut off the top, now I save, now I didn't violate Nisr? I mean, you could argue that since in order to be makif kolarosh, at some point you have to be makif your payas. So it could be that it has to be an issur, because at some point you're being makif your payas, not while at the same time being makif the top of your head and the back of your head as well. Unless you argue that you could be makif your payas as long as you save them for last. Right? That would be the only possibility. That first you shave everything else, the top, the back, and everything else, and then you're cutting the payas, it's not a hakafa anymore. Anyway, again, we pass in a kafas kol rosh in explicit Gemara. Shulchan Aruch passes this way: a kafas kol rosh, shema kafa. It is a violation. So we certainly have those people who like to shave all the hair off their head because they're losing their hair or whatever else. They go with the Michael Jordan approach to getting haircuts and making sure that they don't look human, to make sure that they don't look like they could possibly ever age. So they want to make sure that they shave off all the hair on their head. That would they definitely have to contend with this issue. But where exactly is the spot that one is not allowed to shave? Where exactly are the payas? So I didn't, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. Shulchan Aruch clearly discusses this issue. If you look in Seif Tes in source number 21, Shira Peya, the shear of the Peya, and we saw in the Gemara talks about it. Shulchan Aruch writes, Shira Peya, Mikeneged Seyar Sha'al Padachto Va'ad Lamata Mina Ozen. Makom shalechi atachton yotzei misparit sham, v'kol rochem makom zeh lo tigabo yad. Problem is that without a diagram, it's very hard to understand what these words mean. And even in English, Rabbi Belsky has an English sefer Shulchan Halevi, where he gives two traditions of exactly where the payos are. If you look in source number 19, it's the English source you have over here. The author heard directly from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal that the upper limit of the payos harosh, meaning where the highest point is, begins at the highest point of the hairline as it arches over the ear and extends in a slightly curved line across to where the hairline of the forehead turns sharply downward toward the sideburns. Meaning, my hairline is a little different than yours probably, but over here, the hairline, what do they call this? I don't know if they call it anything. It's where people generally start to lose their hair, right? In these corners over here, right? That would be where it starts, and it would arch down to the highest point above your ears, where the hair, so from here, a curvature from there to there would be the area of the payas, according to Rabbi Yaakov, which is a very large area, right? That's and all that would have to be left alone. That would be the payas. The other possibility is some rabbanim have a mesara, tradition from their rabbis, that the payas do not extend above the upper cartilage of the ear, the tenucha ozen at all. According to their mesara, the imaginary line extends horizontally from the point in the hairline above the foremost part of the ear, almost until where the downward slope of the frontal hairline angles back towards the ear. Which I think means like around here, see the hair on the top of that, not only does it, you start losing your hair like in these corners over here, but then it goes down and then usually it takes like a turn, like toward the sideburn. So where it starts to take that turn on a straight line to here, to where the cartilage of your ear is connected to your head. So anything below that straight line, doing this side too, straight line from there to there, where the cartilage touches, connects your ear to your head, anything below that. Now that's a very small area. That's pretty much the sideburns and a tiny bit above the sideburns, right? That would be the peyos according to that, that the alternative mesorah that Belsky quotes. Now the bigger issue is what's the lowest point, because most people, when we get a haircut, we're not shaving off, you know, the sides of our hair anyway. Question, but we do like to shave our faces, and we do like to cut off the sideburns at some point. So what's the lowest point? Where does it go till? So again, look back at the Shulchan Aruch. What did the Shulchan Aruch say? Va'ad lemata min ha'ozen. Until, what does lemata min ha'ozen mean? No, lemata, under the ear. Sounds like the bottom of the ear. Now, I don't know about you, when I was growing up, my mother always told me when she dropped me off at the barber, tell Al that he's got to cut only at the bone. It was Al the barber. He retired a number of years ago. Big loss. Never been replaced. So Mustami is dead by now. I don't know. He was old at the time. So I shouldn't say that. I have no idea. tell Al till the bone. The bone. What's the bone? That's not. Why is that lamata min ozen? Hey, lamata min ozen, it should be that you should have the big Elvis sideburns, right? That's lamata min ozen. Now keep in mind, when we're talking about peyos over here, we're not talking about the length of the hairs. That hairs that grow out of here should extend all the way down. We're talking about on your face, where you can't cut on your face, where you can't shave on your face. So till the mata min ha'ozen. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. Now what the Shulchan Aruch means by that is subject to a fair amount of debate. If you look in Shuvas Az Nidbur of Binyamin Zilber, in source number 22, he writes that ein tnucha ozen b'chlal, dezeh lav b'chal ozen. Interesting idea. He says the earlobe is not part of your ear, so he modifies it a little bit. You don't need the big Elvis sideburns. You just need the, I don't know, the Rav Aaron Lichtenstein sideburns, the ones that they don't go all the way below the earlobe, just below the cartilage part of your ear. But the earlobe itself is not really your ear. Meichi teisi that your earlobe isn't your ear. Where does he get such a thing from? That an earlobe is not the ear. So Rav Meir Arik has a tshuva. My first day in Rav Shechter's here, he quoted this tshuva from Rav Meir Arik. We were learning Maseches Kiddushin. And Gemara in Kiddushin talks about how to when an Eved Ivri wants to stay on after his 6 years of service are over, you have to pierce his ear. Ozen Shoshana Har Sinai Ki Libnei Sol Avadim Vla Avadim Vla Avadim, and this one went and was Kona Adol Naatzmo, so he gets a pierce in the, he gets his ear pierced, and the Gemara over there says which part of the ear do you pierce? The cartilage part of the ear. So Merik says it's not just teaching a halacha in the ear piercing of the Eved. It's teaching us a definition of the word ozen. That the definition of the word ozen is only the cartilage. Anything that's not the cartilage, it's just by definition, it's not the ozen. So that's what he suggests. That's what Meir Arik writes in Imre Yosha, based on the word Kiddushin, Daf Chafal Vam Beis, that's the definition of the ear. Now, in Chuvus Eretz Tzvi, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, not to be confused again with Eretz HaTzvi, which is Rav Shechter Sefer, but Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, who is Rashiv and Chachmei Lublin, a very great Gaon, writes in Simon Gimel Osei, that the end point of the Peyos HaRosh is where the hair on the head ends and the beard begins. So he modifies it a little further. It's not lamata min ha'ozen. It really means, you know, when your head hair ends and your beard hair begins. He says, agav, you look in the underlined section, hineni leheir hayosri isi eza anashim afilu ha'yirayin shemeshayirin peyos haruchel sheikar nyotze begova ha'rosh v'mshachim v'alch lamata. He says, I've seen a crazy thing. People have longer pious, but they cut their sideburns and they shave their sideburns off. And he says, that's ridiculous. The pious are the sideburns. Meaning it's not about the length of the hairs that you're growing. It's about the area on the head that can't be shaved. So he said they think they're trying to be so machmir by growing long payas, but they're cutting the sideburns, they're shaving the sideburns off. And that's terrible. Ulanias daiti hitos gadol v'nahapachu. Di'ikara payos heim olsan shikar n'yotzi sham b'tzdayin asher ben gova arosh adalachi b'makom ha'masuma n'el. Aval payos heyotzin b'ikar n'b'gova arosh. Mutam ikara din l'galchon l'gamri. That which comes out from the top part of your head, right, where they grow the long parts from up here, that's totally mutter to shave. Umizet tavin, the mashik safti lahashir peos ad neged emtza ozen, ein kavnasi shiar or. So what does he say? Ad neged emtza ha'ozen. Up until the midpoint of the ear. Whoa! Shulchan Aruch said, Lamata min ha'ozen. Rav Meir Arik and Rav Binyamin Zilber said, okay, it means Lamata from the cartilage of the ozen. And now comes along Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer and he says, Emtza ha'ozen. The midpoint of the ear. So he says, Ein kavnos shia orech ha'peos kol kach dein shir l'orech ha'saros klal. There's no shir of how long the hairs have to be. We'll get to that too. There might be a shir of how long the hairs have to be. Raksha yashir ikari asaros adamakum amasumin anal v'lo yigalchim samuk lebasa rak yashimim ktsas. You need to make sure to leave a little bit of sideburns till the midway point of the ear. Now, Rebelsky writes that he once asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky where that point is, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky pointed to a red-headed Rebbe in the yeshiva in Tar V'das. I forgot which Rebbe it was, and the red-headed Rebbe had a white beard. You know, because redheads go white a little earlier. So his hair and his head was still red, and his beard was still white. Rabbi Yaakov said, you see him? Where it changes from red to white. That's where the end of the payas is. Because, and his point was that wherever the hair head ends and the beard hair begins, that's considered to be the makom ha'payas. Good. So where do we get the idea that the bone? So that's roughly the midpoint of the ear. That's roughly where the hair head ends, that head hair ends and the beard hair begins. But it's wherever it is, wherever you feel that it starts getting fuzzy instead of, like, you know, instead of smooth, that's what the suggestion is regarding Frommer and others. Is it a nice chumrah to go at sof ha'ozen mamish to all the way below the earlobes, or at least below the cartilage of the ear? It would seem to be a very nice chumrah that to be able to say many more shitos in poskim. But how wide does it have to be? What if you want to thin out your sideburns a little bit? Are you allowed to thin it out? So notice what the Shulchan Aruch's lashon is. He says, "V'kol rochav makom zeh lo tika bo yad." The entire width of this area should not be touched. Yeah.
Assuming it's like it's as the Shulchan Aruch said, it's to the bottom of the ozen, at the bottom. It's very clear that it's your beard hair. So with the Shulchan Aruch, meaning, is it possible for your pants to actually be beard?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like he's saying. Yeah, yeah.
Even though, meaning, so you don't have all your payas until you grow a beard.
Right. Meaning, right. That a kid, according to everyone, not according to everyone. You're right. Meaning, the way we should be magdir, according to Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer, is to look at a child who doesn't yet grow a beard and see how low his hair grows, and that's where. Right. So you should be able to take a machine, put it on, let's say, number 2 or 3. And go zoop, and then he's fine. Yeah. And he shouldn't be any more complicated than that. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. But according to Shulchan Aruch, it's not that way. That you actually don't really have pace until you can grow sideburns. Yeah. Which is interesting. You're right. It's interesting. Now, the smug paskins that you're not allowed to thin out the area of the pace. And Rikiveger in Gilyan Ashas in Masech Shavuos says that you're not even allowed to comb the area of your payas. Why? Because if you, same reason you're not allowed to comb your hair on Shabbos. Remember I gave a Temin Halacha a couple of weeks ago about combing your hair on Shabbos? So we mentioned that you're not allowed to, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk, you're not allowed to comb your hair on Shabbos because it's going to pull out hair. So if the Halacha is Lotiga Boyad, that you're not allowed to pull out the hairs in your payas, then you shouldn't be allowed to comb the payas either. Says Rabbi Kiveger and Galina Shas. However, Chassam Sofer disagrees. He says, no, you're combing your payas. It's a davar shena miskavein for the loose strands to come out. And he said, I've never seen the Rabbanim Kashishai, the older generation of Rabbanim, to be makvid about this, not to comb the payas. So he said, Chassam Sofer disagrees with his father, not disagrees with Rabbi Kiveger, says you're allowed to comb the payas. The Rambam, in Ilch Savod Zor, Perikim Beis, Allah Chavav, says that you only need to leave 40 hairs across the width of your payas. This is very big. Meaning it's small. It's a small area. It's a very big kula, very important kula. Because Ram says you're allowed to thin it out as long as you leave 40 hairs. You know how thin 40 hairs is? It's not very much at all. Now, why is this so critical? Remember, we discussed the shaila of the guy going in for surgery on his eardrum, and they needed to shave with a razor one side of his head. And he asked Rav Asher Weiss, what should I have told them? After the fact, he already let them do whatever they did, but what should I have told them to mitigate the Yisr a little bit? To limit the Yisr. So one of the things he probably should have told them, see if you can leave an area of 40 hairs wide somewhere in there so that he could have faith. That if you could leave just 40 hairs wide, yeah, meaning as long as you go up across the full height of the payas, leave 40 hairs wide. So if they need to shave this, fine, let them shave this, but just leave 40 hairs, you know, just across the...
40 hairs has to go across the whole area?
The light, across the height. Yeah, I would think across the whole height, 40 hairs width.
Not one patch of 40 hairs width.
No, I don't think that would work. I think we have to be across the whole height, but it only needs to be 40 hairs wide. So that would be according to the Rambam. Now, it's not clear where the Rambam gets that from. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. Doesn't say it in, you know, any other Rishonim, really. So it's not, but according to the Rambam, you're allowed to thin out your sideburns. You don't have to leave them super thick. Shulchan Aruch writes, lo tiga bo yad, you're not allowed to touch it at all. However, it would seem that even according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Smag, if you have stray hairs, that would not be included in the Yisr of lo tiga bo yad. I mean, let's say you have your sideburns, right, that are growing normally, and then you have a stray hair, like over here on the top of your cheekbone. So what? So you can say, lo tiga bo yad, you know, that's part of your payas? Hard to say. That's very hard to say that's part of your payas. If it's part of the continuous growth, that would seem to be included in the payas that we would say, lo tiga bo yad. In fact, Rashi over here, Maseches Makos, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, defines payas as the hair that connects the facial hair to the hair in your head. Stray hairs don't connect the facial hair to the hair on your head. And if you were to include stray hairs in the Yisr, then you'd have to include all the hairs across the front of your face, including your eyebrow hairs. Meaning, where would you stop? Like, you know, like you'd have to say the eyebrows are also, that's ridiculous. Those are clearly a different set of hairs. So it seems that strays that are not part of the hemsheikh of the beard and of the peyos would not be included in the Yisr. Now, the last major issue in terms of the length of the payas, and there's tomorrow, since it's Lag BaOmer, we'll talk about long payas and where the chumras come from Hasidim and all that stuff. But the last major issue is the length of the hairs. What number can you set the thing on when you give yourself the haircut without violating this issue? So the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch don't give a precise definition of what's considered hair in terms of that. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah says that the only issue is if you use a razor. As long as you don't use a razor, you're good. Meaning, if you use scissors, it's totally acceptable. So Darki Chuvin, Kuf Pei Aleph, Oz Beis, writes that the Sefer HaChinuch understands that while the Rambam says that you're putter if you use a razor, he would still hold that it's usher to use a scissor if you're cutting it off. But it doesn't sound that way from the Sefer HaChinuch, meaning it doesn't sound that way. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, it sounds like the Sefer HaChinuch is only talking about when you're talking about shaving the beard. But that when you're talking about shaving the head, that the Rambam mamish holds that it's takum mutter, that it's mamish mutter to shave the head with anything other than a razor. So, first of all, going back to Rav Asher Weiss, the guy getting surgery, l'chora, according to the Rambam, if he wants to save himself, the Shittas Rambam at least, he could just tell them, don't use a razor, use a machine, use something else that works like a scissor. I mean, anything that works like Misparayim Kaintar, even if it cuts very, very closely, but it works with scissor action, with two blades going against each other, the friction of two blades, that would be Mutr L'chor, according to the Shitas HaRambam. Lahalacha, Shulchan Aruch passings like the Rambam, which is amazing. Most of us probably would not have imagined that, right? That the Shulchan Aruch passings like the Rambam, that as long as you don't use a razor, it's okay. But then, he quotes the other day, right? If you look in source number 35, Einu chayev el batar. You're only chayev if you use a razor. V'yesh osrim b'misprayim keintar. Some say that it's osir even without a razor. But then he adds, v'yesh lachos l'devrayim. That we should be choshesh for those who osir without a razor. But it does sound from the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch that the Shulchan Aruch holds me'ikar adin. As long as you don't use a razor, it's okay. But we are machmir that we try to not even cut off the pace even if you're not using a razor. Okay, obviously we're all going to be machmir that way. But still, how long do you have to leave it? How long does each hair have to be? It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. So the poskim look for other areas in halacha where we discuss length of hair to try to figure this out. The Rambam in the fifth parak of Vilchus Naziris Halacha Yiralf says that a Nazir is only held accountable for cutting hair in a way that he removes the hair entirely. But if he trims his hair and he leaves the length that would allow the top of the hair to be bent back toward its root, then he's not chayv an onesh, even though it's asur for him. Meaning, the definition of a hair is kedei lachuf rosho li'ikara. That's shita number one. The Rambam writes in Vilchus Naziris, means that you could bend one end of the hair toward its root. If it's long enough that you could bend the end toward its root, which my beard right now is long enough to do that with, right? So it doesn't have to be super long. That's long enough for the payas. It only has to be that long. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Dalet Simin Kuf Yud Gimel Osei says that that's the same with payas. And Rav Belsky suggests that if you use a number two extension on a trimmer, that's good enough. Number two is good enough to leave a long enough hair for that. However, there's another Rambam. The Rambam, the first parak of Hilchos Parah Adumah, Halacha Dalid, says that the halacha is a Parah Adumah needs to be totally red. If there are even two black hairs or two white hairs on the entire cow, then it's not kosher for a Parah Adumah. How long do those hairs have to be in order to be considered to exist? So the Rambam says if you can grab them with a tweezer, then it already passes your Parah Adumah. If you have two black hairs or two white hairs, you can grab with a tweezer, that already would pass the Parah Adumah. So apparently, that's the definition of a hair. In fact, that would be a number one. If you get a number one, you could still grab it with a tweezer. So that would imply that you're allowed to do a number one around the whole head. And Rav Shechter holds this way. Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, page 234, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that as long as the hair is long enough to even scratch with your fingernail, that you could feel it with your fingernail when you scratch that area, that's long enough. It doesn't have to be any longer than that. Which means that number one is very safe, according to Rav Shechter. Meaning that'll clearly be fine. Biralacha in Reish Nalf discusses it, but he doesn't really give a very clear gather. He says, you at least have to leave a miktas min a miktas. A little tiny bit. Sounds like he's describing something very small. Yeah, and he's not happy with it. He's saying that at the very least, you leave a little tiny bit. At least that much you have to do. Now, I once had a situation. If I told you the story, you could stop me. There was a guy in my shul who used to get his head shaved all the time because he was balding. So I really didn't like it, and I thought he was a learned guy, and he must not have known. So I went over to him and I said, you know, I really think you should look into this sugya a little bit. And he got very insulted. He's like, look into the sugya. You're my rabbi. Tell me if I'm doing something else. Tell me it's us. There's nothing to look into the sugya. So I looked into the sugya. And in Lag Bo'omer morning, a number of years ago, probably 5-6 years ago, I handed him a packet of marmakomos. And I said, here's what I came up with. Hakafas kala rosh ripaskin is asr. Even though it doesn't seem that that's the darkei of the avodah zarah, but still we paskin, at least it's asr, at least midrabana. Maybe midarais is not, but probably even midarais, but at least midrabana it's asr. But the Rambam holds only if you use a tar, only if you use a razor, and the Shulchan Aruch really passes that way, make redin. But we shouldn't rely on that. So at least we should leave enough hair, like Rav Soloveitchik says, that's a number one. So I said, if you get a number two, you're good the chaladeus. But a number one, you're probably good also, especially considering that you know, make redin passing like the Rambam. So you get a number one, you know, that's good. So he was still pretty insulted and pretty mad at me. We were on a Lag Bomer trip with the school, and he called me up and he said, Rabbi, I owe you 1,000 brachas. I said, well, what do you mean? What happened? He said, right after shul, I had given it to him in shul that morning. He said, right after shul, I took my two boys, we went for haircuts, and I had the barber give me a number one, like you said. So he did it all around, shaved number one, and there was a guy in the barbershop that started yelling at me. A guy, I didn't know the guy, started berating me. What kind of Jew are you? You come with two frum kids with yarmulkes on their heads and you send them to yeshiva and this is what their father looks like without payas and you look like a guy and you're doing getting a haircut like this. What kind of, how could you do such a thing? And he said, I was very calmly said to him, well, actually, even though we paskin hakafas kol harosh is asur, the Mikra Adin Shulchan Aruch really paskins like the Rambam that only Bitar is a problem, And it's machlokas how long the hair has to be left. And the Rambam in Hilchos Parah Aduma holds that it only has to be long enough they can grab with the tweezer. And number one is very safely within that thing. And that's how Rav Shachter writes in the name of Salvechik. And he said, I had just come from Shul, so I still have the marmakomos to me. So I said, if you're interested in learning more about this, here are some marmakomos. And he said, I felt so much, like, can you imagine if the guy would have, if I wouldn't have known this, if you wouldn't have pointed this out to me, and I wouldn't have known this, then I just would have been humiliated. I just would have been with nothing to say, and I would have been completely humiliated. So to me, that story is not so much a payah story, it's a story about the power of hocheach tochiach. And it demonstrates both the right way to do hocheach tochiach and the wrong way to do hocheach tochiach. Meaning, a lot of times you don't want to do it at all. Because why should I bother? Let him do his own thing, live and let live. And no, but there's a mitzvah in the Torah to say something and to do something when you can have an impact. So you have to do something sometimes. You have to say something. And it's uncomfortable. And the guy might get, you know, a little offended or whatever, which happened and was uncomfortable. But at the same time, well, ultimately, it was necessary. It also teaches the wrong way to do a chayach tochiach. When you're getting a haircut and you see someone doing something, you don't just get up and berate him publicly. You talk, you whatever, you have a conversation, you figure something out with a little bit of chachma. Okay.